That kid was bound to get into trouble. He had far too much time on his hands. Sorry, but I don't have time to help with that. Time was when I could run 5 miles a day. Not me. Now I can barely do one. We had the time of our lives. I wish I had that time back. I'd do things a lot differently now than I did then. Well, you see the common theme, time. And time is one of the underlying themes of all of today's readings. So what I'm going to try and do is take these three readings, tie them into a nice little package, and put a bow on top. Now, time is very important. Time measures our movement from cradle to grave. When I was an undergraduate, I would often look up at the Latin inscription on the clock in my college dining hall, and it read thus: Quae lenta accedit, quam velox praeterit ora, which means in English, slow comes the hour, the passing speed, how great. Now, at times, we have too much time, and that can make us uneasy, spiraling into a frenzy, wondering how to fill our time, what to do with ourselves. At others, we feel as if we don't have enough time, and that too can lead to a certain frenzy, panicked by how much we have to do. And the ticking of clocks and the turning of pages in calendars reminds us that our lives are passing away. We move through minutes, hours, days, months, years that will not be ours again. Now, this movement can make us glad as something we've longed for draws closer and closer, or it can make us anxious as something we do not wish approaches, or sad as opportunities for which we'd hope for don't materialize or cannot be reclaimed. Slow comes the hour, the passing speed, how great. Time is important to us. It's also important to the God who has placed us in time. And God has put us in this thing called time, which is even now passing away. And he's placed us in time so that we will be aware that there will come a time in this space-time system that will not be our time. Now, rather than getting depressed about all of that, I think it's holy and healthy. Knowledge that time will not for us last forever should encourage us to do more with our time, not to our glory and good, but to the glory and good of God and our neighbor. God wants us to be aware of time so that we will become people capable of living beyond time, forever, in the splendor of that heavenly city where there is no past, there is no future, but only an eternal now. And because God wants us to live with him forever, he places the first part of our heavenly journey in a system that is not forever. Within this earthly life, every moment is an opportunity for conversion, for change from what has been into what can be. God urges us to seize the day now in the time of this mortal life, because one day time will no longer be ours to claim. Brethren, the appointed time has grown very short, says St. Paul. We just heard in the gospel this sense of urgency and immediacy. At the beginning of his public ministry, straight out of the gate, Jesus proclaims, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand." And then he adds a commandment. He adds a call to response. He says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And by the end of today's gospel, four men have accepted our Lord's call, and their time with him begins. Do you notice that twice Mark points out that the response of those four apostles is immediate? Immediate. Christ's call to conversion, to the reordering of our lives in accordance with his will, is to be answered promptly and without absolute willingness to change, to become images of him in whose likeness we have been created. I think our Lord is here challenging us to examine the quality and the timing of our personal response to him. And then we have in the Old Testament lesson today a little snippet of the Jonah story. Jonah, as you know, was sent by God to the wicked city of Nineveh to preach repentance and return to the Lord. And there's that slight detour involving a great fish. You know, the story of the little girl that was having a conversation with her teacher in class one weekday, and the teacher said, "It is absolutely impossible for a fish to swallow a human being." The little girl said, "No, it's not." The teacher said, "It is absolutely impossible." The little girl said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah how he did it." And the teacher said, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? Maybe Jonah's in hell." The little girl said, "Well, then you can ask him." So, that's a true story. So after that detour involving the great fish, Jonah preaches this sermon in the midst of that great city. 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. I wonder, what might you and I do if we had 40 days between now and our ultimate reckoning with God, as 40 days stood between the people of Nineveh and the judgment of God? They repented. They believed the good word, fasting and doing penance for their sins. And maybe in 40 days, some of us might do the same thing. Others of us might use these 40 days as a time of introspection and prayer. With 40 days, we could break a few bad habits and adopt some good ones, all to the glory of God. And that's what another 40-day period, Lent, is all about, of course. Given 40 days, some of us might become bold enough and big enough to throw a grudge away, to let go of that anger, pride, selfishness, and stubbornness that alienate us one from another. 40 days might not be sufficient to unlearn and uproot a deep-seated prejudice, but it should be ample time to admit honestly our lack of tolerance and begin to do something about it. Some of us might resolve to become full-time Christians whose every work, word, choice, and decision bears living witness to the faith we profess, instead of remaining part-time believers whose Sunday worship does not spill over Monday to Saturday. We might use those 40 days to become reoriented and retrained, as were Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. What would you do if you knew you had 40 days to prepare for your ultimate reckoning with God? Don't spend too much time on the answer, because you might not have 40 days. The Ninevites were guaranteed that time by God, but that is an exceptional guarantee in the pages of Scripture. The only guarantee that you and I have is this day and this time. Brethren, the appointed time has become very short. The form of this world is passing away. And quite frankly, if your life is anything like my life, I can't cope with much more than today. But we do have to deal with this day and this time. And how we deal with this day and this time either moves us in a Godward direction or away from Him. Consider this also. At every Mass, what we do is step out of time into the realm of eternity, to be present with Jesus at His banquet table. And then at the dismissal, we re-enter time and we take the eternal out through those doors and into the world. And when you are dismissed, remember what Jesus says. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, that is, turn back to God. Turn from the wrong direction you may be going in your life. Believe, that is, live by the words of Jesus, who's called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Some of you may have that little blue St. Augustine's prayer book. And on the first page of that prayer book is a sort of morning resolve that you might do well to memorize, and you might do well to say when you get up every morning, and it reads thus: Remember, Christian soul, that thou hast this day and every day of thy life God to glorify, Jesus to imitate, a soul to serve, a body to mortify, sins to repent of, virtues to acquire, hell to avoid, heaven to gain, eternity to prepare for, time to profit by, neighbors to edify, the world to despise, devils to combat, passions to subdue, death perhaps to suffer, and judgment to undergo. Brethren, I tell you this, the time is short. Amen.
Please stand.